Hey there, Curiosity Builders. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. What do you do when you recognize and acknowledge a profound symptom of your suffering? Do you dive in and explore it, or do you shove it back down into your inner being so you can deal with it when you're ready? One of the symptoms of suffering popping up in my life through the past 4 months has been loneliness. This weekend, I had an experience that I wanted to share with others, but didn't know who would be open to talking about it, so I attempted to let it go. I tried to shove it down, but much like trying to keep a basketball underwater, it shot into the sky, eventually floating on the surface. Since then, I've been curious about the symptom of loneliness. What is it saying about the life I've been cultivating over the past 24 years? Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/424. Before I dive into the topic at hand, I'm going to ask that you forgive me for being intensely introspective and vulnerable in this episode. I'm going to share about an issue I've been struggling with for a very long time, and that is loneliness. I can trace the feelings of it back to being a child, but I'm much more interested in the decisions I've made as an adult that have reinforced it. While this episode is incredibly therapeutic for me, I also realize that loneliness touches the lives of many people for many different reasons. My goal in sharing this is to let other people know who may be struggling with loneliness that they are not alone. So what triggered it? What happened that I heard the low hum of loneliness? Over the weekend, I watched Spike Lee's latest film on Netflix, The Five Bloods. It is a powerful film. It's complicated. It's captivating. This isn't a film about Jedis or superheroes. It grapples with real issues in unbelievable ways. Issues of race and racism, war, madness, money, how we curate our existence for others, landmines, and so many other topics, which only makes it harder to talk to people about it. It's really hard to sum the film up in a pithy quote or a tweet. It's violent and brutal, and in many ways, I see it as a search for and an expression of truth. I wanted to talk about the film and how I felt after experiencing it, but I soon realized the only person I knew who would be interested in talking about it was on the other side of the world. Surely there are others who I could talk to about this, but in that moment I couldn't come up with any. And that's when I really started to hear that low hum of loneliness. I was able to talk briefly with my wife about it, but that's not really a film that she would want to watch, and I'm okay with that. But all I could think about at this point was the revelation of loneliness. But I shoved it down. I went about my day and tried to forget about it. Then an interesting thing happened this morning. I woke up quickly from my sleep after having a bad dream in which a family member had died. In addition to that horrible feeling, the other part of the nightmare was that my podcast was getting eviscerated by bad publicity and devastatingly negative reviews. I am always amazed with how dreams are simultaneously heartbreaking and silly. They don't often make sense to me. But this is a dream that I remembered, and when I woke up, I looked to see what time it was, and I got out of bed. I went through my morning routine of reading and started to write in my journal. Was there a connection between the intense feeling of loneliness over the weekend and my dreams from this morning? Well, I think there is a connection. I'm not a therapist or a psychoanalyst, but I am going to attempt to analyze what this dream meant. I think the death of a family member speaks to loneliness. Without them around, it's one less person who knows me, who really knows me. And that one makes sense. What doesn't make sense on the surface is the part about podcast reviews. Such an odd thing to dream about at the same time as the death of a family member. I don't remember everything that was said in the negative reviews, other than cite your sources, which makes me chuckle since I really try to do that. But what I think it means, apart from the very real need to cite my sources, is that the fear of bad reviews is actually a fear of criticism and negative feedback. That fear throughout my life has led me to agonize over the correct way to say something. I have written and rewritten this episode several times because I'm constantly trying to think of all of the ways that what I'm saying could be perceived negatively, which leads me to refine and polish, edit. And even though there is so much work that goes into this level of editing and refining, ironically, it is the easy way out. And over time, the easy way creates a chasm between who I am and what I eventually say, which causes the loneliness to increase. In the analysis of dreams, feelings, and symptoms, it is interesting to see how much loneliness is really a symptom of two underlying problems. The first, playing it safe, and second, being a people pleaser. The result of these two behaviors is not only an issue of authenticity, but one also of increased isolation in an effort to control everything I possibly can. When I look back over my adult years the past 24 years, I have purposefully put myself in situations where I'm confident, in control, certain of the outcomes, and unafraid to make changes when anything disrupts my comfortability. And as a result, I have curated friendships and work experiences that not only reinforce those behaviors, but perhaps aren't as deep as I thought they were. But here's where things get really interesting. I don't think I really realized I was doing that until COVID-19 shut everything down. I ended up wearing two masks in public. The one I've been wearing for 24 years to reinforce my image to myself and to anyone paying attention, and the new one to protect me and others from a contagious disease. In the safety of my house and home office, I told myself I needed to exude confidence, control, certainty, and fearlessness in everything that was going on and everything that I did. So I kept producing podcasts and going about my work. But all I could feel was fear, anxiety, and panic. Again, that chasm between who I was and what I was saying and doing. I had no answers, but at least I could pretend that I was okay. But day by day, my comfort and confidence was slowly eroding, and I didn't really notice it had disappeared until June 2nd. June 2nd was the day I got really uncomfortable, and for good reason. If you aren't familiar with June 2nd, it is known as Blackout Tuesday, where people posted black squares on social media. Blackout Tuesday, according to Wikipedia, was a collective action to racism and police brutality. The action originally organized within the music industry in response to the killings of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor. And it took place on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. Businesses taking part were encouraged to abstain from releasing music and other business operations. It quickly became a statement, collectively, about Black Lives Matter, revealing white supremacy, police brutality, and systemic racism. And I didn't know what to say. So I willingly withdrew from that space. Not because I disagreed with what was being said or how it was being said, but because I was uncomfortable and afraid to say the wrong thing. So I isolated myself and did what I knew I could do. I immersed myself in books, movies, and conversations about Black lives, white supremacy, and systemic racism, all with varying degrees of discomfort. I wrote monologues about learning and understanding and continued talking with people. But underlying it all was still that low hum of loneliness. Have I been isolating myself from others for so long that I didn't know how to have deep conversations anymore? It's interesting. As a people pleaser, I'm dreadfully afraid of saying the wrong thing. I am having an incredibly difficult time just putting this episode out because of my desire to please everyone. But what's interesting is that in some environments, I am fierce and brash, but in others, I am so calculated, I am lukewarm. Which is why having the dream about negative feedback hit home hard. Do I value being liked more than saying the right thing at the right time that others might not like to hear but need to hear? As I process these feelings of loneliness and the decisions I've made throughout my adult life, I realize I'm in a place of asking a very important question for my life. How do I want to show up in the world? But here's where I need to be transparent and honest. That's not the question that I really ask. That's the question the people pleaser wrote. How do I want to show up in the world? That's a very safe question to ask. But the question from behind the mask is this: as a straight white man, what is my place in the world moving forward? In that question are the questions: do I want to play it safe? Attempt to control everything with veiled certainty, constantly curating my friendships and experiences, to be so fearful of saying the wrong thing that I say nothing at all, to not be true to myself or to others by avoiding challenging and important topics. These are tough questions that I can no longer avoid. I don't want to play it safe. I want to have deep and meaningful conversations about issues that matter. I want to amplify voices and stories of people who haven't had the same experiences that I have, so that I can learn, listen, and love. Because what I have learned is that my story is not minimized when I maximize the stories of others. In doing this work, the stories become intertwined and inseparable and become a thing of beauty and unbelievable strength. Loneliness at its core was my avoidance of living a 100% authentic life, of playing it safe and pleasing people, of being afraid to say the wrong thing, of living in fear, of not wanting to open myself all the way up. It wasn't something that just showed up one day. It was a daily choice that became a habit and a way of life. And I'm not proud of it. As I come to the end of this episode, thank you for listening. I hope you'll understand that expressing these thoughts and feelings out loud is both scary and essential for me to do. I have a lot of work to do moving forward. We all have a lot of work to do moving forward. I have friendships to repair. I have a life to live. But most importantly, I have a mask to remove. Nope, not the one I wear in the grocery store. No, it's the other one. The one that hides who I really am. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.